Great. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to be telling you something about the history of Reading, and I imagine that you actually don't know very much about the history of Reading. It's probably not something you've ever studied at school, but I will be making reference to some parts of history that you might have studied when you heard about the history of the British Isles. I'm going to divide my talk into six parts. I'll start off saying something about the geography of the area, because if you understand something of the geography, it helps you to understand how developments occurred, why they occurred, and why Reading has developed in the way that it has. I'll then go back in history to early times, say a little bit about the first recorded notes about Reading, and then move on to medieval times. Another word for medieval is Middle Ages, the times of the Middle Ages. Then move on to talk about Reading under the Tudors and Stuarts. Tudors and Stuarts are royal families, so that the most famous Tudors would be Elizabeth I and Henry VIII. I think you all know something about Henry VIII. What's he famous for? Six wives. He had six wives. And the Stuarts, who probably are less famous, but the famous kings there are Charles I, Charles II, and the Stuarts were actually forced out of power for a short time. I'll then go on to talk about the Victorian era, which is the period of Queen Victoria, before moving on to talk about Reading in the 20th century, which brings us up to the present day. So, first of all, something about the geography of the area. It's a bit difficult to find a sort of helpful map of this, but what I wanted to show you here is the movement of the rivers. We've got three rivers here. The upper one is the Thames, which, as you know, goes from near Oxford all the way down to London and to the sea. And there's another river down below the Thames called the Kennet. And these two rivers join at the spot where Reading was built. So Reading developed because it was where two rivers met. And of course, water is incredibly important. People need water for a variety of reasons. For drinking, also for their animals to drink, also for the crops, in order that you can grow plants. And also, of course, you need rivers because you can put boats on rivers and transport goods from one place to another. So meeting places of rivers are incredibly important for the development of villages into towns and then later into larger groupings, which we might call cities. Reading, by the way, is not a city. Reading is still a town, not a city. There is one other river there coming up called the Loddon. The Loddon is not so important in our story. It's more the Thames and the Kennet. Looked at on a larger scale, we've got over on the east side, London, with the Thames coming all the way up to Reading. Reading, if I can do this without pulling off my microphone, is here where the rivers are joining. And on the west side of the country, we've got the city of Bristol. Bristol was a very important port because ships went from there around to France, Spain, and further afield. It was an incredibly important port up until the discovery of North America, when Liverpool became more important than Bristol. But up until about the early 18th century, Bristol was the major port. Now, I'm pointing this out because at a later stage in our story, the River Kennet was joined to the River Avon. The River Avon is not indicated there, but the River Avon is that river at Bristol. And when these two rivers, the Kennet and the Avon, were joined, it was possible to take ships or small boats all the way from Bristol to London, because the two rivers were joined. but they were joined artificially, not by a natural river, but by a canal. And that canal, the name for an artificial waterway, is the Kennet Avon Canal. We'll come back to that when I'm talking about the Victorian era. For the moment, though, let's put the rivers aside and go back to the origin of Reading.